Next week, I'll be leaving just slightly early, probably.
Okay. Yeah, last week we had another person who came on as owner, and I thought it was you.
I saw that. Yeah.
But it was a different person.
Yeah.
That was a very powerful session last week.
Good.
It's precious to get these, keep getting it drilled into us and see gradually erase, slowly, gradually erase the what I think or what it seems, what things seem to be. It's gradually being erased.
Yeah, the more you pay attention to yourself with self, the less things will matter, the less things will impress. Mm-hmm. And eventually you'll know, oh, there's nothing except myself with self.
Yeah. Like, I had some, I won't say what it is, but something happened earlier in the week that it was really like bumming me out.
And but see, don't give CPR to that dying little self.
It was really, you know what I mean? Really heavy. But yeah, eventually I figured, well, how am I going to get this off my mind? And I just started doing like what you said. Thank you, Guru, for presenting this sort of obstacle or whatever. And then it just kind of, I realized that actually if there was, If it can be considered that there is another person that was involved in this incident, that actually for them, it's they're going to maybe learn from it or not also. But it wasn't.
No need to worry. I'll just cut right there because there's no need to worry about what they're doing.
Right.
Because they are you.
That's what I started.
Whether they learn or what they learn or what you're just here, it's like, okay. Thank you, Master, for something that gives me an opportunity to draw closer to myself with self.
And to recognize what I am not.
And then, yeah, and don't give it to mind to think about or anything like that. Just pause and thank you, Master, for giving me the opportunity to turn towards my selfless self and away from the illusory problems that absolutely don't exist, but that the mind impressions are trying to impress. This is existing. This is bothering me. But the you that you are is not bothered because you're formless. The space in the room can't be bothered. Even if the whole place goes into fire, the space in the room is not bothered.
Mm-hmm. And even my amazement that this works is also part of the...
part of the illusion. Mm-hmm. Because... just like in a dream, and we talked about before, you go, you see a guru, and you go, and in the dream, you're sitting and meditating, and suddenly it's like, oh, I'm enlightened. What an amazing thing. But all of that occurred within the dream. Even if you did become, quote, enlightened in your dream, and you suddenly had the realization of all things in the moment, it's all within the dream. And exactly the same thing here. That's why there's nobody to be enlightened. The enlightenment is just the loss of identification with something other than your own self. You're preoccupied with something that is non-existent and ignoring the actual existence that you are.
I try to pay close attention to my dreams when I wake up and, you know, they're hard to, they're so nebulous, you can't, it's hard to remember details, but I was dreaming this morning about rooms, different rooms, and like it was like one room was like always there, whereas other rooms were like sort of temporary rooms. I thought, and then anyway, it was some kind of, you know, recognition going on there.
Well, but you are the one who, whether the room is there or not there, mm-hmm. and the different stages and all the different rooms, you yeah. are.
Yeah.
And without your presence, could there be a dream? So everything is appearing on that spontaneous presence. Without your presence, this body could not animate and say, I exist. You'd just be a lump of goo. That's why when this body essence can no longer sustain, you know, it's a food body. And when the food body deteriorates, then you'll no longer say, I am existing. You'll still very much exist. The dream goes on. Because this body has nothing to do with this dream. The dreamer is formless.
You said the dream goes on?
Of course, the dream, not the dream of the individual self.
Right.
But all of this is in consciousness, yes? Like, let's say this entire world is a projection on your spontaneous presence. When I say your spontaneous presence, I mean the you that you are, not the individualized sense of self that you believe yourself to be.
Uh-huh.
So this body drops right now. There's a Trish that's still going about her daily activities, and there's an Alan that's still going about his daily activities, and there's a Keith that's still going about his daily activities. Because it's all dream.
Of course, in our, to our regular way of thinking, we define that as not being a dream. We define that as being real.
But well, okay, then you are the pure reality yeah. in which all of this is appearing and disappearing. But you are that now. So these bodies come and go. I mean, over, you understand? It's like...
Mm-hmm.
Billions of forms are created and destroyed, created and destroyed, created and destroyed. Well, how can this be? Because that presence that you are, this dream consciousness, is the
making it possible or something.
It's all illusion. So it just is like a. It's not from the individualized perspective. Because you're not an individual. You appear to be an individual. You appear to be living a life just as if you were in a dream and you appear to be living a life in your dream. You appear to be an individual in your dream.
It's like we can't know what's going to happen. And that makes us, but we think we do know what is happening. And that's not true either, because
what's happening is nothing. That's the thing. When you know yourself in a real sense, you have nothing to do with this world. Like how? Like it, you can't even, like as they say, like step down into this world. You're formless, you have no feet. Even if there were stairs from yourself to the world, you cannot. You can only pretend with your imagination that I am something in a world having a life. And you can only do that when a body form is available.
And you say, you know, sometimes that all questions will be answered. And, you know, that's so I guess you know, gradually you do just see that. That it's what you're saying is correct or true.
You have to discover it for yourself. To listen to somebody else say it, that's okay.
But I do get the matchup as I go on. You know, I do realize, well, yeah, that was true.
Yeah, you have to discover it and investigate. Because you hear the good news, and then you have to go and investigate. It, you know, if this is true,
but all the answers do gradually, they are getting answered. It's like...
But they dissolve.
Yeah, because they're no longer a question.
Involved. Exactly. They're illusory questions about an illusory world. You know, it's just like we talked about deer in the mirage. The deer will walk towards the water, believing itself having to quench its thirst. Oh, this water will quench my thirst. And until the nose is stuck in the sand and absolutely no water is there, there will not be a knowing, I cannot drink from this water. There appeared to be water, but there is no water. And as you remain with your formless, selfless self, just I, just I, there appears to be a world. There appears to be a you, but there is none of this. And you don't have to think there's none of this. You don't even have to accept that there's none of this. You just remain with your selfless self. All answers are within you. Which leads us to, we did get a bunch of questions. I guess after we asked, are there any questions from last time, did we get any questions? And now we got someone who asked some questions and said, did you go to see Sri Ramakant to be enlightened? And I will say, no. I went to Sri Ramakant Maharaj because the sense of presence that I had identified with a power greater than myself, I wanted to go and surrender to that as deeply as I could. I'd already started through a program, a 12-step program of surrendering, so to speak, and I wanted to complete it. I really did. And thank this presence for having really altered my life, because at that time I thought, you know, like we just talked about, this is John. John is having this amazing spiritual experience, and I want to go and thank this God of my understanding, whom I understand to be appearing in the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj. I want to bow to God's feet and say, thank you so much. You know, thank you for allowing me to feel this presence. Thank you allowing me to, the willingness to come up in me to surrender everything. And so I didn't go to be enlightened. I went to surrender. The concept of enlightenment of like, oh, being on a hill and being, you know. At that time, I was listening to Muji and I understood enlightenment to be like, you're an enlightened saint, an enlightened guru. And that's not really what I wanted. I wanted to go to God and say, thank you so much. My life is yours. You've saved me. You've rescued me from this hell that I was living in. And I'm at your feet. What is enlightenment? That's the next question. Enlightenment is the knowledge you are without the concept of being a body. And it's a body-based concept. That's the craziest thing. And Maharaj says this very nicely. Prior to beingness, there was no concept of enlightenment. So after the spirit clicked with the body and you said, I, and then after years, you search, you begin searching for this, quote, enlightenment. You hear this news of enlightenment and you try to, quote, attain this. But enlightenment came along with the body that you are not. And when you remain with your selfless self, then who's to be enlightened? And that's why we say this presence, this just I, as Nisargadatta Maharaj called it, the I am. And the I am prior to words, not the I am like I am this or I am not that. I am prior to words, this very, very subtle sense of presence that you are, not this body. So you use this body to know yourself in a real sense. Then you discard the concept of knowing, the concept of knower, because this body, you say, oh, I'm knowing this. So you discard this concept and you return as you were prior to beingness. Just I, without the concept of being anything in particular. And you could say maybe you you go through the stages, your mind, you're starting to lose the grasp. You know, you're no longer grasping onto this mind to try and sort out this worldly experience. You'll feel a feeling of expansion because you're no longer listening to the thoughts that keep you limited within a body form. And then you'll know, oh, so that I am that. The biggest obstacle to enlightenment, you. The you that you believe yourself to be is the biggest obstacle to enlightenment. And it's the worst thing. This is like, it's almost like we're telling you a joke. Because there is no obstacle. You create the obstacles by your own imagination. Believing yourself to be something that you are not. And then striving to be that you are. Which is the most natural thing. But because you've been pretending to be something that you are not, and this body impression has been really seriously impressed on you, you believe there's an obstacle to enlightenment. And enlightenment is knowing yourself in a real sense. Thank goodness you have this body form, like a cup, you can dip it in water and know that there is water. With this body form, you can sit quietly with your own self. And there is a sense of presence. And don't take anyone's word for this sense of presence being yourself, because just remain there. And this sense of presence will allow you to know that you are. And this was what Siddharameshwar Maharaj told to Nisargadatta Maharaj, that you are. And it says in all the books, Nisargadatta Maharaj said, I spent every moment with this I am. Anytime I wasn't doing anything, I was with I am in every waking moment. It wasn't like a part-time thing where I'm going to, you know, go and read a couple of books, maybe go on a little spiritual retreat, or worse, a silent retreat where I'm not speaking, but my mind is going 100 miles a minute, either by the fact that, oh, I hope this silent retreat is over soon, or look at how well I'm doing being silent. Either of these, again, the illusory you that you believe yourself to be is creating this concept that I am not enlightened and I need more something. But you don't need something because you're nothing. And anything that you can get is illusion. It appears within the nothing, along with the body form. The body form appearing in the nothing says, I want something, but eventually returns to nothing. So anything that you can get from the something, knowledge, relations, anything, is nothing because it returns. Something came out of nothing and returns to nothing. Again, just like in a dream. Deep sleep, there's no knowledge of your own self. Suddenly there's a knowledge of yourself. It creates a dream world, and many things are happening in that dream world. Through the other side, so to speak, back to deep sleep and then waking up. The one that you are, all these states are appearing, including this waking state. But in dream, you absolutely know, oh, so anything that I could have acquired in that dream was meaningless. You know, what if you learn to speak a foreign language in your dream? It's useless. You wake up. You can't speak the foreign language. In the dream, even you find out, oh my God, in the dream, I thought I was speaking German because I was teaching myself German, but it wasn't German at all, actually. If I look at a real book in the waking state, that wasn't German. But in the dream, the waking dream state, I realized that my dream was not real. What is the benefit of being, what is the benefit of being enlightened? Well, again, there's no body. And there's no body there to get a benefit. You could say, while using this body form and knowing yourself in a real sense, you're no longer like a little dog running behind the cars of illusory problems. You know, every time an illusory problem comes, oh, yes, I have to go after it. It's so important. or somebody is disturbing you. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm so disturbed. My life is very stressful. So the benefit would be you know yourself in a real sense. And it seems appearing and disappearing. That is the most beautiful thing. And that is that spontaneous existence. You don't even know you're there. And these scenes are appearing and disappearing, and you're using this body to do what's needed to be done, and then the next scene is there. No trouble, no worries, all is well. Because this illusory mind causing these illusory problems with illusory thoughts about illusory you is no longer disturbing you, because you're no longer identified with any of it. This flow of thoughts is about the body-based existence. And we've spoken many times, it is like watching a black and white TV. And that's mind. And you're seeing color. But everything is being translated in black and white. The mind is like, no, this is a very important scene of this movie, but it's black and white. Because you know yourself in a real sense. This form-based illusory existence is not your true nature. You're leasing this body for a time to have the illusion of experience through the concept of duality. There's no gain, no loss. Just like in a dream, when you wake up in the morning, you don't say, oh my God, I lost all that. No. When you go into deep sleep, you don't say, whoa, I'm losing the dream. I'm losing the waking state. What is going on? No. Because right now, you are the power that's powering this whole world. Not specific body. Would you comment on the teaching's topic, killing the mind and ego? I think we sort of just did that. That if you remain with your selfless self, there's no need to kill a mind and ego. It's an illusory thing. Like just like when you were a kid and you thought there was a monster in your closet. You would not spend a lot of time, maybe you would, setting traps and going and finding the best weapons to kill the monster in your closet. Mom and dad came in, flipped the light, and showed you there's no monster in your closet. You make the ego and the mind a monster by your illusory kind of conceptual understanding of, oh my God, this mind is so powerful. But it's the monster in the closet. Flip the light on, he's gone. When flip the light on is remain with your selfless self. Mind and ego are not in the closet. That's why Maharaj always uses that example of the dark cave. I love that example. You know, somebody says, okay, you walk into a cave and it's dark. If you light a torch, is the darkness going to say, no, I've been here 5,000 years. I'm not going away. No, it's instant light. And you can say, well, then enlightenment is this instantaneous thing. And there are steps, like Maharaj says, the progressive steps. While you believe yourself to be a body on a spiritual journey, you're taking progressive steps. And each step is leading you to your own self. That's why Maharaj says, this is your destination. Please don't go and like read other guru books that, and then say, oh, this Kundalini. I wonder if presence can get me to Kundalini. What? No, don't do this. You know, you're at the final destination. Now you've heard the great news. Remain with your selfless self. That should be the only thing you do 24 hours a day. I want to know myself. Just I. And that goes back to the very first question. No, I did not go to Sri Ramakant Maharaj to get enlightened. I went to surrender whatever was left of me. That was the intent. Thank you, God, for having saved me from this insanity of an existence that I seemingly could not get out of. And now I want to serve you only. I want my entire life. Matter of fact, I remember I told my girlfriend at the time, I said, you know, it comes to me that, like, it's almost like I want to be walking forward and having roses and all these things and just peace and everything flowing behind me, but never turn around. Like, never turn around and say, oh, look at all this peace and look at all this. No, I very much want to not disturb anything or anyone, and easily remaining with my selfless self. That's how I learned to not disturb anything or anyone, because A, there's nothing other than your own selfless self, and B, you're not acting selfishly as a selfish someone doing things to try and benefit yourself that doesn't even exist. This is why life becomes painful. Because I plant a flag and I say, I want it my way, but there is no my. And worse, I listen to my mind. Sometimes things go my way. Sometimes things don't go my way. And mind says, when things go our way, look at the great things we're doing. And when things don't go our way, we're looking for others to blame. And it's illusory others. And then we get trapped in this circle of illusion. I'm doing something. I'm doing so much spirituality. Why is this happening? This shouldn't be happening. You know, oh, I feel so much peace, and then it gets disturbed. No, this is not true. This is a play of your mind because you're paying attention to it. You're getting on the little mind ride. Okay, mind, take me for a ride. And it's like a roller coaster. It goes up and down and around and around. And you're complaining the whole time. Oh my God, this is so terrible. But you chose the ride. When you know yourself in a real sense, there's nobody to get in that little box to go on the ride. The ride can come. Oh, free rides. Come on, hop on. No.
I mean, in one sense, it's not a choice, in the sense that I'm so habituated to believing it. There is a ride in the first place, like that I just get taken for a ride.
Yeah, you just, mind is a flow of thoughts. Which thoughts you accept, which not thoughts to accept is up to you. Maharaj says this. If you choose the thoughts that are like, oh, this terrible thing's happening. Oh, the economy is going so bad and there's wars over here and this and that. What will we do? What happens a year from now and all this? Of course, there's going to be stress and trouble. If you remain with your selfless self, even reading the news, you might feel in a moment some kind of emotion. You know, you read about bombings or something like that. You're like, oh, but you understand, deeply understand. You do not give yourself away and say, oh, my God, look at this terrible thing that's happening. Because you remain with your selfless self. You could still have the compassion in the moment for the people. It's not like you're a robot.
But there's still an unaffected space there also.
Of course. Of course. And that's why, because you know yourself in a real sense, that's why Maharaj says, once you know yourself in a real sense, you know you're a man. You don't have to keep repeating, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. When you know yourself in a real sense as the formless presence, and even more subtle, the knower that knows this sense of presence through body form, that cannot be burned, killed, born, died, nothing can happen to that space in the room. Nothing can happen to that. And so when you know yourself, then it becomes a joy. Even the sadness becomes a joy because it's just something passing. You're not passing. You can stand on the riverbank and see whatever's coming. Sometimes a lot of fish are coming. No fish. Trash. Okay, it's very sad. Maybe you reach in and pick up trash, but you don't jump in the river. And then suddenly be overwhelmed with, oh my God, I'm drowning in all this trash. And it's not aloofness. Because aloofness would be, I'm someone who has to remain apart, who has to remain untouched. No, by knowing yourself in a real sense, there's no body form there to touch anything. You're nothing. So you don't have to sit there and say, that's why they talk about renounce the renouncer. You don't need to do renunciation or worry about killing a mind or worry about, is my ego diminishing or getting larger? No, you remain with your selfless self. Don't add concepts.
A lot of times I get down on myself forgetting things or I can get down on myself for forgetting things. I kind of just let slide, you know, okay, I forgot that. I forget a lot of stuff. I've been forgetting stuff all my life. So it's not really like anything new. But it occurred to me that actually being able to forget everything is actually my nature. And I don't know what I am, who's forgetting or what, but certainly I'm able to forget everything.
Would you prior to forgetting or remembering? Forgetting and remembering are attributes of the mind, and you're prior to mind. Prior to beingness, was there any forgetting or remembering? But I would say definitely don't beat yourself up about it. You might laugh to yourself and say, oh, look at this, I forgot something. But it should be like gone in 15 seconds, just like, okay, pick up the tea. I drink the tea. It's not like the tea is sitting here and I'm concentrating. Oh, this tea, I love this tea. It's so nice. You know, you don't have to keep going over and over and over. It's a spontaneous action in the moment and done.
Like, in order, it's kind of, there was the Gurdjieff teaching. One of the earliest spiritual teachings I started studying was Gurdjieff, and his thing was self-remembering. But then I could see where self-remembering is kind of the same as self-forgetting. It's kind of like they both are the same thing, kind of.
But they both require someone to forget or remember. Mm. Better to remain with your own selfless self. Self-remembering is simply in any moment
that's coming back to the, like coming back
just
to the
here.
Would be sort of like self-remembering, I guess.
Just here. You get a bad report at the doctor. Okay, sit and remain with yourself with self, then open your eyes and do what needs to be done. You are stuck in traffic. Okay. Opportunity again. Thank you, Master. If there were no opportunities to remain with my selfless self, I would not have the practice of remaining with my selfless self. And every day, there are countless opportunities to remain with your selfless self until days are nothing more than a calendar. Oh, look, it's the 27th. Tomorrow it'll be the 28th. And you can still say, you know what, in a couple of days, like I'm going to go see a movie on, I think it's Sunday. And okay, I'm seeing a movie on Sunday. There's not a need to say, because that would be egoistic spirituality to say, oh, I don't.